The violence in England spread to the northern city of Manchester on Tuesday night, with hundreds of hooded rioters looting and setting fire to shops and fighting police. The rioters fought running battles with the police through the evening.
On the riots and looting raging across London and spreading elsewhere in Britain.
Out of control, without social controls, this is out of control.
These are shocking.
The worst riots for a generation left buildings burning.
Welcome to Manchester.
I know that a lot of youths are getting sick and tired of these stop and searches. And a lot of youths are getting stopped just being questioned just because they're being judged, like, you know, differently.
It's the government. They're not helping no one out except for the rich people. They don't care for us.
Let's have a riot.
Why have you got to do it?
Why? Because they're letting all the Polish, all the everyone in our country, letting everyone do our jobs, and we can't get a job.
Everything is falling down. Everything is falling down. Everything is falling down. Everything is falling down.
Don't ask me to condemn violence, because if you insist, I'm prepared to fire a broadside at Murdoch's Daily Tabloid violence. Britain's ability to maintain a class society now with an underclass of violently treated people and the other class of ignorant and guilt-ridden pink asses. The violence of the state and its police is well documented. Big Brother asks you to dub in someone else. Member of Parliament expenses scandal, that's looting. Phone hacking, that's illegal invasion of a person being violent. Do you want me to throw more shame on your political correct violence condemnations and procrastinations muttering utter nonsense? Welcome to Kaput Radio. I'm Martin. Stay tuned to news from Loxley and the Sheriff of Nottingham and other neoliberal ripples of the English past. I promise it's going to be funny.
Thanks for your time.
Very good to be talking to you, Brian. Good evening.
Tell us what's happening over there. This has been a terrible week.
Shocking week here, Brian. Absolutely shocking. There are two big stories. We can do them in either order. You choose.
Two stories?
Two stories, yes. We're all going to be murdered in our beds and we're all going to be ruined. Which one do you want first?
Well, let's leave the collapse of the global market for a minute.
Okay.
Why is that happening, incidentally?
Why?
Yeah, why are the markets so unstable?
Over-regulation, I would imagine, Brian, over time, going back. I've got some notes here. Yes, there's some concern about European sovereign debt, and there are worries in the US about the possibility of QE3.
What's QE3?
It's a ship.
That's QE2, isn't it?
It was. Maybe this is a new one, Brian. They must be launching a new one.
This is for Canard.
I imagine it's not easy, Brian. I mean, it's a very big thing to do.
Really?
It's a hell of a thing.
Really? Is anyone famous on it?
Oh, undoubtedly. They'll have the usual big ones, Brian. Steve Williams, someone from Harry Potter.
Lord Lucan.
If available.
There's been a rally, hasn't there?
Been rallies in both these stories, Brian. Rallies are a feature.
Yeah, well, let's go to the London riots for a second. What's the actual cause of this?
You want to talk about the London riots?
Yeah, why have they happened?
Hang on, you want to talk about the London riots, Brian, or do you want to talk about why there are riots?
Well, both.
Well, nobody knows why they're happening.
What, no one knows what caused them?
No one's got any idea of why these are happening.
Not a social divide?
A social divide?
Yeah.
In England? Brian, the Prime Minister's flown back from Tuscany to point out that's not right. And he spoke very well, I thought.
All right, tell me about the actual riots.
Well, they're terrible. I mean, they're not just in London. They're happening in a lot of the big cities.
Mobs of people
marauding groups of youths very often, Brian, causing damage, looting. I mean, the streets aren't safe.
Yeah, the wallopers must have their hands full.
The plot are peddling like ducks, I'll be frank with you, Brian.
Yeah, the Prime Minister must be very worried.
Well, he's come back from Tuscany, Brian, and I think that just speaks to seriousness.
How concerned he actually is.
No question about that, Brian.
Sure. Yeah.
Can I just correct something I said earlier?
Yep.
I said earlier that QE3 was a ship.
Oh, yeah?
It isn't.
What is it?
QE3, I've just looked it up, Brian, is a large injection of money into an economy when monetary policy doesn't seem to have worked.
Well, how much money are we talking here?
Shirtloads, it says here.
How much?
God, this screen's a little, I can hardly read that.
How much?
Absolute shirtloads, it says here.
Does make sense.
Shirtload upon shirtload, maybe.
Thanks for joining us.
Is it safe out there? No, I'll just stay talking to Brian for a week or so then. No, he'll have plenty of questions. He's an Australian.
You
of Loxley
will feel the full force of the law. And if you are old enough to commit these crimes, you are
from Loxley
to face the punishments. And to these people
in Loxley,
I would say this. You are potentially wrecking your own life too. Mr. Speaker, we will not put up with this
in Loxley.
We will not allow a culture of fear to exist on our streets. And we will do whatever it takes to restore law and order
in Loxley.
We have seen the worst
of Loxley.
But I also believe we've seen some of the best
of Loxley.
$3 to $4 million in the last 5 months, sir.
All right, then, fine. Raise the bounty on his head. 25,000 crowns.
Begging your pardon, sir, it won't do no good. How much you raise it?
Really, Scriven, why is that?
Because, sire, the poor, you see, he gives them what he takes, so, well, sire, they love him.
Robin Hood steals money from my pocket, forcing me to hurt the public. And they love him for it?
Yes.
Let's have a riot.
That's it. Cancel the kitchen scraps for lepers and orphans. No more merciful beheadings. And call off Christmas.
Good evening. In Great Britain today, severe cuts in social programs to needy children and the working poor have led to massive unrest and crime. But the money saved by the budget cuts has been used to beef up police and security forces to deal with the unrest. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher addressed the nation about the crisis.
Money, we've got nothing to do.
We've
got nowhere to go. No, like the club they used to go to, the place they used to go to hang out in the youth clubs. They can't go no more. They've been closed. And all the centres that used to help, they have been closed also. The government are cracking down on everything.
And the needy, the destitute will find us steadfast, and we will win the war against the shabby and the unsightly, until Britain stands again, proud, profitable, and ever.
Well, you see, rather vicious-looking people who obviously are angry about something, look vicious.
So what's the solution to this? I mean, lock them up?
Well, that is part of the solution, yes. What is necessary, is, in my view, is a dismantlement of the social security system and also of our educational system, and also a liberalisation of the labour laws, as well as a much harder repression of crime.
And so, if you don't work, you starve, kind of thing?
Yes, you go without. And if you respond to that situation by becoming criminal, then you are locked up.
I want to get straight to the point. On Monday, when we announced our plan, me and Samantha spent too much and doubled the national debt. You know what Labour called it? Callous, arrogance, boom and bust. Excuse me? Of course it was done with the best intentions, but this idea punished Britain's culture of irresponsibility, ripping up its time-wasting, money-draining, responsibility-sapping nonsense. And that will be tough for many people. But for me and Samantha, this will only ever mean one thing. Devolution, the minimum wage, civil partnerships. We will cut the mothers first for 50p.
Let's have a riot!
Counting the minutes between the news bulletins, they deserve a ruthless, relentless fight. And if we win, I will face the husbands and the children, a politician of the front rank, Afghans. I know about the revolving door at the Ministry of Defence with a second mother in charge. We will need a strategy that is credible and doable. So our method should be clear. We send more labour to terrorist training camps. And frankly, time is short. Yes, this week, we have made some tough choices. But in British politics today, it is the only responsible thing to do.
And talking about the challenge that she thought she would face. In the meantime, Sue has with her a rather special guest. Sue?
Indeed, there is one person who has found the night more eventful and more dramatic, perhaps, than any other. We are honoured, indeed amazed, that she could find the time in the midst of all her commitments to be with us here this morning. Madam Prime Minister, welcome.
Thank you. And good morning. May I say that my husband and I send heartfelt election greetings to you all, wherever you may be. I would like to say, as Britain's first woman Prime Minister, that it is a great honour for you. Though I did have one anxious moment when my support fell away and my marginals started slipping. My greetings go particularly to all of you who voted Conservative. And for those of you who didn't, don't think that because you didn't vote for us, we shall ignore your needs. That's not the Conservative way. We shall simply forget them. And that's one election promise we will keep. But, you know, I would like to mention the one man without whom all this would have been impossible. I am referring, of course, to Mr. Heath. After all, he put me where I am today. But it should also be remembered that I put him where he is today. Ah, no, actually, he's delighted for me. But the other man who has assisted me greatly is, of course, Mr. Callaghan. In fact, I understand that when the result was announced, Mr. Callaghan was lying in his bath. I suppose that after 3 weeks of lying in television programs, press conferences, and constituency meetings, he's finding it hard to break the habit. But you know, I can't wait to get into number 10 and get on with the job. There's such a lot to do. There's new carpets to lay, doors to be painted, floors to be polished, though I have received many kind offers of help. For instance, the extreme right-wing Law and Order group have offered their services. They want to come in and hang the curtains. But looking back at my election campaign as I traveled around the country, I met lots of interesting people, or workers, as I believe they're called. They were always offering tea. In fact, during the second week, I was drinking so many cups that Parliament wasn't the only thing I was running for.
Mrs. Thatcher, I'm afraid I have to interrupt you there, if you don't mind.
Oh, but of course I don't. I'm sure you've many things.
I think the key thing is that what the public want to see is an actor's armchair, a general saying that this or that, this or that, this or that.
The thin blue line's been stretched to breaking point. Outnumbered, outmanoeuvred, and unprepared for violence on such a scale.
And that I've said that the police are incredibly brave. They were brave on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They're brave every day.
You know, usually we don't shut down communication systems in democratic countries. It's something that was done in Egypt during the uprising there, but it's not something I think that the UK would want to be associated with. You know, anything is possible.
And I think actually what this is about is far deeper than just this one killing last Thursday. It's about a crisis of leadership in this country. We've got a Prime Minister that doesn't really connect with the people. A lot of the policies he's implementing are actually dictated to him by the banks, and he's lost touch with ordinary people. There's also a crisis at the Metropolitan Police. But this killing of Mark Duggan last week clearly was the spark, and it's not the only death of an ethnic minority that the police have actually been responsible for. So, you know, we've had something like 340 deaths, mostly of ethnic minorities, in police custody over the last 12 years. Now, that's around about one a month, without a single conviction of a police officer. So this is very irresponsible behaviour by the police, and I think we need to see a wholesale re-examination of the way that we investigate these various kinds of death, either in custody or as people are being arrested, because it starts to look like there's some kind of shoot-to-kill policy out there.
If we have, say, another 700-800 community service orders made in London alone, we're really going to struggle, because there's already severe delays, often 2-3 months before community service can commence. And the government rightly want to see swift justice, but we really will not be able to deliver it because they've cut the personnel in our justice system so much already that we're already at our limits. If people are put in jail, they will effectively be warehoused, which means they will spend all day sitting in their cells. There will be no staff to be able to do constructive work with them. And the risk then of further reoffending in the future, particularly with the draconian cuts that are coming, I really fear for the safety of communities.
Jolly voting weather, vote for us if you please. You're not so of you on your knees. So we'll all stick together with the rest of you on your knees. David is frightfully clever, Boris a bumbling fool, but we'll stick together just like we did at school. Birds of a feather, we're the biggest fish in the pool. No traces ever of whatever we smoked at school.
I have a past that I won't acknowledge, involving ganja while at Brasenose College. That's where I caught the eye. I told them that my dad was loaded. I said, he's a broker, he's got a roller. They said, fine. But then in 30 seconds' time, I said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to meet with common people. I want to be with common people like you. Which they didn't understand. They just smiled and shook my hand. Worked for Carlton, my first stop. A few years there, a PR job. Say seat in Whitney, bit old school. Made David Davis look a fool. Voted in without a fight. Labour's future not looking bright. Watch them going to the wall. If you vote for me, I could sort it all. Although I've never lived like common people, I wouldn't know what common people are. Never failed my common entrance. I never watched my life slide out of view. And danced and drank and screwed, because I had better things to do. Never lived like common people. I couldn't live like common people. Just want the votes of common people like you.
Police and media say the thugs were behind the unrest, but residents are saying economic hardships. Who's telling the truth? What's the real story in this situation?
Well, this riot took place after a peaceful demonstration to the local police station by family and friends of the shot man. Stories were going round, which are that he had been shot after his minicab had been surrounded by armed police on Thursday night, that he'd been shot in the face. Police have spread stories that he opened fire on them, which seems unlikely. If you were surrounded by armed police, you would start firing. The family and friends deny he had any weapons. The crowd gathered outside the police station, and the demand was a simple one, that police should come and explain to the family what had happened. They themselves warned that if that did not happen before nightfall, they were worried about unrest on the streets. And of course, that is what happened by nightfall, by after 8 o'clock at night. Nothing had come, no police had come to address the family. And at that stage, the crowd stories were going of police attacking a young woman. At that story, things erupted. A police car was set on fire, and a night of rioting began. This is an area which has seen riots before. In 26 years ago, on Broadwell Farm Estate, there was a serious riot after police killed a black woman during a search of her home. That led to the killing of a police officer, but it was a major explosion in Margaret Thatcher's Britain at the time. And what I think lies beneath this is the fact that Whittle has changed in those 26 years. Police are still seeing as being an alien force, implementing a stop and search policy, harassing mainly black youth, but all young people. That stop and search was taken away as a consequence of the riots 30 years ago, but it's been reintroduced in part because of the war of terror and the domestic agenda about that, and in part as well about a supposed crackdown on gun and knife crime. There's anger over stop and search. This is an area, as you alluded to, with very high unemployment, very high exclusion of young black and other pupils from secondary schools. And I think there's been an awareness, really, that in Britain, the possibility of this happening has been growing. There were serious clashes in both Bristol and Glasgow earlier this summer, And I think it just took something like the killing of Mark Duggan and the police's heavy-handed attitude for this to suddenly explode.
Now, Chris, let me just jump in here. Chris, how likely are we to see more of this in other cities? Of course, with the difficult austerity measures being taken, and of course, impoverished areas are definitely going to be the ones that feel the brunt of these type of policies. How likely are we to see more of this?
I think that is the fear in ruling circles in Britain. At the time of Margaret Thatcher, at the beginning of Margaret Thatcher's rule in the 1980s, there were very, very serious uprisings, mainly led by black youth, but also involving white youth, in major inner cities across Britain, in response to unemployment and the lack of opportunity. And as you say, with austerity measures biting, which is leading to already quite high levels of youth unemployment, 20% youth unemployment for under 24s, and that's increasing, that people feel there is no prospects for them, there's no hope for them. Tied in with heavy-handed policing, nothing seems to have changed. There still seems to be a racist attitude among the police. I think there's a fear that austerity measures being implemented, which will increase unemployment and also lead to cuts in the various facilities available for young people, will lead to this, not just in inner city areas, not just in areas with a large black population like Tottenham, but in other areas, in Liverpool and other cities in Britain. And I think there's a fear of this. And of course, David Cameron and other politicians say that rioting is somewhat un-British. Of course, there is actually quite a long history of rioting, in particular over unemployment in this country in recent in modern times. And rioting is not that unusual in Britain at that time. So I think there's a nervousness that austerity measures can lead to more of these explosions on our streets.
Overall, Chris, let's look at the relationship between the police in the UK and minority community, especially the African community. Overall, what's the history and what's the relationship?
Well, among the Afro-Caribbean community, which is one of the oldest immigrant communities in this country, many of them came here in the 1950s, there has been a long history of police harassment of that community. And stop and search, where police, without any reason, can stop you and search you on the streets, has been an incident where black youth feel they've been harassed consistently over the last years. And that was an issue in the 1970s and 80s, and it's an issue which has come back. But there's a feeling the police, which is overwhelmingly white in this country, are quite an alien force outside these sorts of communities. So there is a long history of resentment over this among the black population. But it affects other groups, as you mentioned. I live in an area not dissimilar from Tottenham, where there's a large Arab and Bengali population. They suffer quite substantial stop and search under the excuse of the war against terror, of people looking for so-called Islamist extremists. And that harassment and raids on houses, indeed, has been quite a feature locally, which has led to tension where I live between local residents and police. And, you know, other groups feel that. Young white people feel alienated from the police and alienated increasingly from a society where there's no jobs and little hope. And the heavy-handed policing of student protests at the end of last year, many of those students were teenagers in further education colleges or secondary schools, the sorts of people, many of whom would be out in the streets last night in Tottenham, I think has increased an alienation of young people in this country from the police.
This is the biggest demonstration that London has seen against austerity measures. Of course, we've seen demonstrations all over Europe, students and trade unions alike.
Even though the government claims this is necessary to help the economy or whatever, we know for a fact there are many other ways you can help it.
So we have the new sheriff of Nottingham there standing up on the world stage right now. The whole last week he was on a holiday in Tuscany.
In Tuscany?
Up to then people thought he was just a piece of spam with eyes, but now it revealed itself. He's the new sheriff of Nottingham.
What happened to Tuscany? Why did he leave Tuscany?
Because he had to go back to sort things out. Looting, or redistribution, one could say.
Rage. That's a good way of putting it.
Rage against banks and bonuses and members of expenses scandals, member of parliament expenses scandals. And
well, look, to leave Tuscany, it must have been, shows you how serious.
Yeah, well,
how serious the situation is.
He's not alone.
He's not alone.
No. Angela Merkel had to be recalled from her hiking in the mountains. Her holiday got cut short by you know, having to get this European Union stuff sorted.
Did she think the redistribution was spread to Germany?
That's the nightmare. Everybody, there's Sarkozy and Merkel, and Sheriff Nottingham is just only the first one experiencing it. And I mean, Greece is not counted because Greece doesn't have a sheriff.
No.
And Greece is just a covert anarchy anyway, all the time.
And what does Italy have? It doesn't have a sheriff. Does it have a... I don't know. What would he be, Mr...
We don't quite know whether it has anything, but the Italians think it has a parachute.
Yeah, parachute.
Yeah. Well, met in Germany.
I hope they have a soft landing.
It goes a long way back in Europe, not just... I mean, this time there wasn't even Robin Hood required. Everybody was Robin Hood out there.
Robin more than Hood.
And then I heard the new measures entail the shutdown of the phone system and the internet infrastructure when these things... if these things recur, that's almost a given. Didn't I hear that before? Didn't Mubarak try that in Egypt?
Oh.
And Assad is doing this in Syria.
Right now in Syria. That's Gaddafi. Did he try that?
I think they learned their lesson much earlier than the Sheriff of Nottingham. You know, he's just imitating all these guys.
Exactly.
Well, here we go, David.
So that seems to be repeated.
It seems somehow in their DNA in England, isn't it? And I make a point of saying England because I don't mean the Scottish, I don't mean the Welsh, let alone the Irish. They're all lovely people, but everybody from continent, my friends from Europe, and even the English visitors who have come here and travelled through the continental Europe before agree. It's the pits.
England is
the pits of Western Europe. You have to go far east to Belarus or something like that to find similar circumstances. The oppression and grayness of it all.
What do you think if history repeats itself, we'll see boatloads of these convicted looters heading for Australia?
We are good at that. Yes, we have experience and we have managed them, actually.
Well, we have managed them, so we'll
manage them. Particularly kids. We're good at kids.
Yeah. But they did send them out here by the boatload back in 1788.
That's right.
Yeah, so we could see a repeat of that.
Well, there was a good old British Empire repression at work here, I heard. A bit of rum trading.
We still have room for them here.
I believe so. We had room for 50,000 Aboriginal children. We had room for, 30,000 orphans? White orphans from English British Empire. And didn't they all... They were all sort of covered paddocks of pedophilia, I thought, you know.
Oh, yes.
That's teaching a lesson.
That is...
I mean, if the sheriff of Nottingham would be outspoken and say, look, if you don't behave, we're going to send you over there where the pedophiles run the show.
The pedophiles run the show. And over here... our priesthood takes care of the soul, but over there, it's the arsehole.
There's something that we need to do.
We're coming archers, Rob.
The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who offers nothing in return.
Robin Longstride, also known as Robin of the Hood.
For the crimes of incitement to cause unrest, I declare him to be an outlaw!
All who shelter him, their lives shall be taken on sight. Nail, please.
On the day that Margaret Thatcher died!
You can check the playlist and all the web details at kaputradio.libsyn.com.